Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Thursday morning. Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. It's 1 hour, three songs, 312-981-7200. That's coming up. We are going to talk about the least scary movies of all time and some of the most important sketch comedy comedy sketches of all time. For everywhere from Saturday Night Live to Key and Peele to all the sketch comedy shows from the past, some of the most important and landmark pieces of sketch comedy. So that's all coming up. As you know, it is the month of October. It is getting close to Halloween, and I personally couldn't be happier. It's my favorite time of year. It's my favorite holiday. I love horror movies. They're my favorite genre. We're really pleased to bring back one of my favorite guests that I've interviewed, and we had him on not too long ago, and we're getting him back on now. Joe Bob Briggs, who is he's a host, he's the king of the drive-in. You can check out at the real Joe Bob for Twitter. And coming up on Friday night on Shudder, 8 o'clock Central Time, and it'll be made available on demand a little bit after that. It's Joe Bob Briggs Halloween Hootenanny, and it's going to be special. It's a triple feature, and lots of other really cool stuff on there as well. And let me welcome back to the show the great Joe Bob Briggs. Joe Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Nick. Glad to be back on the show. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on, man. How you been?
I've been good. I've been preparing the Halloween Hootenanny.
Yeah,
Better than a wing ding.
Yes, I've always believed that. I've always believed a Hootenanny is better than a wing ding. Yeah. So let me ask
they,
you.
They don't let me tell the titles. I would love to tell you the titles of the movies we're in the show, but part of the, the format of the show, I guess, is we never reveal the titles in advance. People have to show up and find out what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's fine. I'll watch, and I don't care. I don't care what you're showing. I just think you're great. I'll watch you do anything. Hey, the last time you were on with us was when you were touring around and you did the music box.
That's right. We missed you at the music box.
Yeah, I know. My producer Tom came down and saw it and said it was just fantastic. How'd that whole thing go?
Oh, that was a wild, rowdy crowd. I loved it. I just loved it. People had to fight their way to the theater because it was the theater's right there by Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And it was a Cubs White Sox night. Sold out.
Right.
And so everyone was like fighting their way to the theater. and so they were in the mood to have a good time once they got there.
Yeah.
So, it was a great night. We had a lot of fun. Some people came in costume. I used to just do that. The show is called How Rednecks Saved Hollywood.
Right.
And it's a very Southern show. And it's about redneck movies, and it's about sort of the history of the redneck told in film. And I used to never do the show in the North. I only did the show in Southern cities, you know, preferably cities that love their Confederate monuments, you know, because there's a certain kind of, there's a certain kind of humor that we have in the South that, that doesn't always translate. And so I was preparing the material, and I was saying, you know, this show is really for places where people love their guns. And then I thought, oh, Chicago. Okay, fine.
Right.
We're like, okay, it's Chicago. But anyway, they accepted me. They accepted me there. And since then, I've done it in other northern cities. So.
Right. Well, I'm glad you were able to bring it to Chicago. And the music boxes the programming that they do there is just so diverse and so cool. They're always willing to take a chance. Like coming up this weekend, in fact, is the Music Box Massacre. It's a 24-hour horror movie marathon that starts Saturday at noon and ends Sunday at noon. It's an endurance test.
Yeah, I've hosted a few of those.
Yeah.
Iron Man marathons is what I call them.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be ready for those.
I've lived through a few in my day. sitting there and like people bringing sleeping bags and laying on the floor of the theater, which I wouldn't recommend. But that kind of thing. What, Joe Bob? Let's go back to really quickly to give everybody a little. How did this whole thing start? How did you start when you were a kid? Did you love B movies and horror movies and stuff like that?
When I was a kid, I loved all movies, but the thing with exploitation movies really started when I was older. And I didn't just review horror. I reviewed movies that at the time, I mean, we're talking about the early 80s. At the time, these were exploitation movies were a despised art form.
Right.
They weren't reviewed at all by newspapers. So I worked for a newspaper and I started doing a column called Joe Bob Goes to the Drive-In.
Right.
Because the only place you could see the movies was at the drive-in. Or in more urban places, you could see them at the grindhouses, which were always in the deteriorating downtown area.
Right.
You know, and so, so for a long time, I was the only person reviewing this type of film. It was well received by movie lovers, but it was not well received by moral censors. And so, you know, what's weird to me is that I was constantly under attack from the Baptists or the one organization or another. The films were considered pornography, even though they were not pornography. They were just exploitation films.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What today would be called genre films.
Right.
And so,
at that time, Joe, they were everywhere, like in video stores. I mean, they were, some people referred to them as video nasties.
Oh, yeah.
And
even before video, even before people had VHS, they were in, you know, they played the drive-in
right,
in the frame houses,
right.
And they would play for 1 week, and then they would you'd never see them again.
Yeah.
Or they would come around the next year with a new title.
Right.
But what's interesting to me is the censor would come along and he would say, you know, Joe Bob, you can't really say these things because you'll offend the older people, you know?
Yeah.
And so now that I'm one of the older people, the censor comes along to say, Joe Bob, you can't say these things because you'll offend the younger people, you know, the millennials, the post-millennials,
right.
You know? And so I'm like, well, wait a minute, when do I get to be offended?
Yeah.
What's going
on
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you start, you know, and then, but you've had this unbelievable, unbelievable career, and so the work that you've done with Shudder, has been really great, and you're getting ready to bring back the Last Drive-In, correct?
Yeah, we got renewed for, we hadn't been canceled yet, we got renewed for a second season.
Yeah.
And the Halloween Hootenanny is kind of a warm up for the second season of the Last Drive-In, so. We're going to do one more mini marathon prior to the starting the second season of The Last Drive-In. The Last Drive-In is a Friday night double feature you're supposed to say genre films now. You're not supposed to say exploitation films. But,
yeah.
You know, the best and the worst horror films.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that, as we talked about last time, because we started out so big with, you know, we broke the internet. And
right, right, right.
It's become an appointment TV thing on a streaming service.
Yeah.
Which never happens. You know, I mean, streaming services, normally you just drop the show on a certain day and people watch it whenever they want to watch it.
Right.
We have this rabid audience that shows up exactly at the time that we first do the show. So, and they gather together through social media, especially through Twitter, but also through, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all the others.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and,
we gotta take a break here, Joe Bob. Hang on a second. Okay.
Okay. Right,
Joe Bob
right.
Briggs is with us and we're going to talk more about the Halloween Hootenanny, which is going to be dropped on Shudder, this Friday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. It is the Joe Bob's Halloween Hootenanny, the triple feature, and lots of other things. We're going to talk about that and more here on WGN. We'll return after this with more Joe Bob Briggs on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio on a Thursday morning. Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs here on 720 WGN. And my guest right now is the great Joe Bob Briggs. He is the king of the drive-in. He's a TV host. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealJoeBob. On Friday night at 8 o'clock Central Time, Shudder is going to drop the new show, Joe Bob Briggs Halloween Hootenanny. And that's what we're talking about. Let's bring Joe Bob back. Joe Bob, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. So the Hootenanny. Now we can't talk about the titles that you're showing. But what were some of the other things that are going to be involved? I understand that Darcy the Male Girl is of course going to be there.
Darcy the Male Girl has an increasingly important role in the show because I think partly because of the generational difference between us that she's always disagreeing with me about the relative value of various films, and that cause and people like that. They uh-huh. like people sort of punching holes. It's like, you know, back when I was on, I used to have a show on TNT called Monster Vision,
right?
And I could get away with anything. I could just like it started really before the internet was big, and there was no information on these films. And I could just get away with anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I make one little mistake, and 9,000 people are all over me within
right.
5 minutes.
Right.
You know,
right?
And so, Darcy is kind of a millennial reminder that I'm being watched. I'm being watched at all times. Her most notorious challenge of me was, she said, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is better than the original.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I just considered that. Oh. I said, are there other people who share this opinion with you? And she's like, oh yes, this is very, I was just like appalled.
But, I'm sorry. I just got, that gave me a chill down my spine, Joe Bob, right there. You know, it's interesting because like every time I hear that they're going to remake, you know, some classic horror movie, I immediately just go no. But some of them turn out pretty good. I enjoyed. It's not nearly as good as the original, but I enjoyed the remake of Dawn of the Dead. Even though I prefer my zombies slow.
Right.
And I just thought last year's remake of Suspiria was really great, and it was a completely different movie than what Argento did. But I was, because Suspiria is one of my favorite movies of all time, and when I heard they were remaking it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then the direction that it took was completely different, and of course it was like an hour longer than
the original. Well, yeah, and they're not always remakes. They're reimaginings
right.
and reshapings and everything. And so if you do that, I mean, Tom Savini in 1990, I think, made a remake of the original Night of the Living Dead, which was very good.
It was.
Very good.
Really good.
And he came up with a way of doing a little bit different ending that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And I think it's a very underrated film. Nobody watches it. Everyone watches the original. They don't watch the Tom Savini remake. So, I mean, I think the Hills Have Eyes remake was good.
Yeah.
You know, the original Hills Have Eyes is kind of grainy and dark, and the remake had a lot more money and just, you know, delivered a lot more.
It can
happen, but you know, ultimately it's kind of it's a degenerate era if all we're doing is reviving old standards, you know. Are we going to make every Stephen King movie every 5 years,
just
keep making it over and over and over again? You know, it's like, it becomes like Broadway, you know, Broadway musicals, you know it's like, let's do Oklahoma again. Let's do Music Man again. You know,
I know. It's
sort of what horror is becoming.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm actually really interested in Dr. Sleep, which of course people know is the sequel to The Shining, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. I really hope it's good. The Mike Flanagan has turned out to be a pretty successful horror director at this point.
Yeah, I always hope that they're all good. Some of them are kind of like I'm going to sound like an old fart here, but the young generation of filmmakers shy away from horror a little bit in the following way. They always try to make it horror comedy. Even if they're making a straight horror film, they inject comedy, I think, as a self-protective way, because it's harder to go for solid scares, to sort of tap into our basic fears.
Yeah.
And you sort of don't have to do that if you're constantly relieving it with comedy. And so that trend, I don't like at all.
Right.
I would rather they go for it, you know.
Yeah, I think the director that's doing that right now is Ari Aster. Between Midsommar and Hereditary, my God. I mean, although Midsommar does have some big laughs in it, but it's really one of the most twisted films I've seen all year. And I love what that guy's doing.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think Ty West is another one that it has a lot going on.
Yeah.
Very, very intelligent films, very scary films, very unpredictable films. We live in an interesting time because it's like horror has become a genre, not a subgenre, not a specialty genre.
Right.
It's become one of the genres right up there with, you know, comedy and drama and action.
I have to ask you, you know, since the last time you were here, Tarantino's movie came out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I would love to get your take on that. What did you think of that?
Well, I have not had a chance to see it because I've been constantly on the road. I haven't. And doing my show, so
well,
I haven't seen it yet.
I think you'll love it. I absolutely loved it. And I don't know if you've heard, but Brad Pitt's character lives in a trailer right next to a drive-in.
I did hear that.
And so there's some great stuff that takes place there, and he really captures, and Tarantino really recreates that time period perfectly. And it's got a great amount. The last like 20 minutes of the movie is just mayhem. Utter mayhem, and I can't wait till you see it because I think it's great.
Okay, well, I'm sure I will because I like almost everything he does.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This is a good one. This is one. I think this is one of his very best. So, one of the topics that we're going to do after we let you go, Joe Bob, in honor obviously of Halloween, is the least scary movies of all time. You know, we always talk about like the scariest movies of all time. The classics. You know, you got your Halloween, you got your Exorcist, you got your Texas Chainsaw, the original. But what about the least scary? I've got a list here that I'm going to go through, and we're going to talk about movies that were supposed to be scary, didn't be scary. What are some of the ones? And I mean, have you shown some of the least scary movies of all time?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I would say Blood Harvest, starring Tiny Tim, was one of the least scary horror movies ever made. There was a movie called Super Beast that was filmed in the Philippines that's just people wandering around in the Philippine jungle for 2 hours. there's no beast, much less a super beast.
Uh-huh.
there's almost too many to count.
Yeah.
It's hard to scare people. It is hard to scare people. And it's hard to get down to fundamental fears. And so, there are movies that where the acting is just so bad that it can't possibly be scary.
Yeah.
And sometimes even in some of the larger budget things, and I'm gonna get the number wrong, but I think I'm thinking of Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, Part 5. I think, you know, somehow they just got the wrong cast and the wrong director, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
But I may be wrong because I get the numbers.
I get those.
But
they all kind of meld together at some point. They really do. Listen, Joe Bob, always great talk to you, but I want to give it one more plug for what's happening on the Joe Bob Briggs Halloween Hootenanny. It's a triple feature, and you won't find out what the movies are until... it begins on Friday night at 8 o'clock Central Time on Shudder, and getting ready for season 2 of The Last Drive-In. Have you picked out some of the movies for the next season?
Oh yeah, we pretty much know what we're going to do. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Great.
We can't tell you those either though.
That's okay. That's all right. People will tune in anyway. Joe Bob, always right. Man, it's always so great to have you on the show. You're one of my favorite guests of all time, man.
Thanks, Nick.
All right,
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Joe Bob Briggs, everybody, the king of the drive-in. God, he's the best. I miss drive-ins, too. That's another thing I miss. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about drive-ins later on. But Joe Bob Briggs' Halloween Hootenanny is Friday night, October 25th, this Friday, on Shudder, and it'll be dropped at 8 p.m. Central Time. It's a triple feature. All kinds of other great things will be happening. And in between, you'll get to byplay between Joe Bob and Darcy the Mail Girl, as well as other surprises. So Joe Bob Briggs' Halloween Hootenanny, Friday night, on Shudder, 8 p.m. Central Time. Make sure you tune into that. My thanks to the great Joe Bob Briggs. All right, we shall return on 720 WGN with the news.